good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight. A couple of other announcements. Kurt Jensen had to go home this morning. He wasn't feeling very well. I texted him, and he said his knees and his back were really hurting him, and so he stayed home today. So we need to remember him in prayers. And also, Carolyn has updated our directories, and if you have any corrections over the next few weeks, be sure and get with Carolyn and make any corrections. If a phone number's changed or something, get with her, and then there'll be some updates and so forth. So thanks, Carolyn, for doing that. Last time I had the opportunity to speak on Sunday night, we started studying in the book of James. James was the brother of the Lord. We mentioned about how it was kind of interesting that during Jesus' ministry, his brothers didn't believe. And eventually they would, and James would go on to be a major pillar and major leader in Jerusalem. And the book of James is one of the most practical books for Christian, just our Christian lifestyle. You know, just the day-to-day, how we conduct ourselves as a Christian. Not a lot of necessarily church doctrine in the sense of the setup of congregations or salvation, except in the sense of how we conduct ourselves, of course, you know, for salvation. But just a very practical book. I'd like to read what we went through, the first 11 verses. I'd like to just read those and then continue right on with our lesson tonight. Starting off in James chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. And we will be picking up in verse 12 tonight. In verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. This verse is so important to us because every one of us are going to face not only trials, but also temptations. And David Phillips last week during our gospel meeting made the comment, the old the phrase that Flip Wilson used, the devil made me do it. You know, we don't use and put the blame on God. We don't blame God when things happen to us. And unfortunately, that has been the bump in the road of so many people to either question their faith or to lose their faith. Something, they will face something tragic in their lives. And nobody would ever say that it wasn't tragic. But then you start hearing comments, if God is loving, why did he allow that to happen? If God loves me, why would he put me through that? Etc., etc. And James is saying, that's not the case. We don't blame God. We don't blame God when we're tempted. We don't blame God when we're in various temptations and trials. The first example I always think of is Job. Job lost everything. And in the beginning of the book, it talked about his riches, how much he had, and literally, in just moments, he finds out that all of his livestock, his mules, his donkeys, his oxen, his camels, are all stolen by raiders. And while that is being reported, he finds out that his servants have been killed. And then while he... In the same breath, he finds out that all of his children had died. And in verse 22, it says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Amen. And I think of that example. And what a wonderful example for us. And James is telling us, in a lot of ways, the same thing. Don't blame God. Don't. And in fact, sometimes just bad things happen. Sometimes it's because of sin. In fact, I've been kind of rolling around in my head a little bit about why we a lesson about why we suffer. Sometimes it is because of sin. Our sin, somebody else's sin. We can be an innocent party and suffer because of somebody else's sin. Sometimes it's just part of what is called life. But this example of Job, I always think of that in connection with what James is talking about. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God has a way of escape for us. We don't always take it. Sometimes, do we ever close our eyes to the way to get out of sinning? But God provides a way. It may not be graceful. It may not be pretty. But he provides a way. An example of this is Joseph. You know, Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. I mean, she was after him. She offered numerous times trying to seduce him. And in Genesis 39:12, it says, finally, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. There was nothing graceful about this. He got out of there. And we know the rest of the account of this. He wound up suffering. Joseph did the right thing. Didn't mean he didn't suffer for it. He wound up being thrown in prison once Potiphar's wife concocted a story about how he had approached her. So bad things happen to good people. But James is telling us, don't blame God and don't think God is tempting us, and don't blame God when bad things happen. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Romans 6:23, we see, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Back to James. James says, do not be deceived. Paul uses those terminology quite often. James is using it here, and whenever I see something like this, do not be deceived, it's probably because a lot of people are. It's probably because many people are taken in by this next thing. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I'm reminded of this verse, that everything good in our life comes from God. And to stop and give thanks to when the good things, it's really easy to go to God when your back's in a corner. When you're in the foxhole, it's easy to go to God in prayer. When your back's up against the wall and you have nowhere else to go, it's kind of easy to go turn to God in prayer. But when every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, it's from God, to stop and give him the thanks and to be reminded that we, as it says, are a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The first fruits were always to be sacrificed back to God. That's us. We are to give ourselves back to God, that it's not about us. That was a hard concept to learn for me. That's not all about me. That it's about God and to serve him. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In my opinion, and you know how I feel about it, I feel in my opinion, but in my opinion, this is one of the most powerful scriptures, that if we as Christians did this more, how much trouble would it keep us out of? Strife with each other, putting our foot in our mouth, jumping to conclusions. If we just did this passage right here, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. All filthiness aside. You know, I've often thought of it as we're trying many times to serve our God but carry these worldly things with us and do it. Have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. And that's not it. That we lay it aside because it is able to save our souls. And it's worth it. 1 Thessalonians, Paul kind of said the same thing. He says, abstain from every form of evil. Even any form of evil, stay away from it. There's nothing good comes from it. James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. This, as a Christian, this is so important. We've been talking in Sunday morning Bible class about evangelism. This has to take place. To be doers of the word and not just know the words. We have to do it. My dad used to say, you know, got to fish or cut bait. This is it. We have to be doers of the word and not just say the words. We have to live it. James goes on to say, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And in Hebrews 10:26, we see, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. And we don't want that to happen to us. We need to remember where we've come from, what we've overcome, and not return to it. Peter talks about, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Savior, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. We can't return to our old ways. And James, the Apostle Paul, in fact, every New Testament writer, Jesus himself wants us to leave that old life, not return to it. Because if we do, we're like a pig just returning to the mud, returning to the sin of our old life. James says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. We have to bridle our tongue. That is one of the first ways we make an impression on people. You know, with our tongue, our language, we portray ourselves by the way we speak. You look at our mouth, how gossip can come out of our mouth, how it can lead to false doctrine. All through our mouth, discouraging people. All because of our mouth. And James is saying that we need to bridle our tongue. We need to control ourselves because there's a lot of good that our mouth can do. We can spread the gospel. We can teach others. We can encourage others. But we can do a lot of damage. John 7, Jesus is telling the scribes and the Pharisees, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Your words and your actions did not match up. And then the chapter ends up, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Now, one thing I do want to say, I have heard Christians quote this as this is the only thing we as Christians have to do. This is something we have to do, but this is not an all-encompassing, all we have to worry about as Christians. But James is saying pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We do need to do those things. We also need to teach. We need to make disciples. We need to worship. We need to fellowship. There's a lot of other things we need to do. That concludes James chapter 1. Next time that I have the opportunity to speak Sunday night, we will get into James chapter 2. We always want to offer an invitation every time we meet. There may be people that have been studying and realize the need and have the desire to be baptized. There may be people that have sin in their life and they realize they need to repent. There may be people with a heavy heart and need prayers from their brothers and sisters. And if there's anything we can do to assist you, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.